Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program.
When I think about that, when I think about advancing, you know, the Lord's kingdom on the face of the earth,
right,
I'm reminded of Reverend Billy Graham.
Oh, really?
Did you know that yesterday, yesterday was Reverend Billy Graham's 94th birthday?
Oh, wow. 94.
94.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
So I'm like, wow. They interviewed Dr. Graham, and I just feel so uncomfortable calling him Billy. You know what I'm saying? It's just
such
an amazing man of God.
Yeah.
But Reverend Graham, what a long life of faithful ministry.
Faithful.
What a long life of being able to proclaim God's word with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about, you know, one of the most respected heroes of the faith. You know, is Dr. Graham. I mean,
yeah.
His love for God, his integrity, his counsel. I mean, he's had so many access to so many different presidents, and he's just been just a wonderful, wonderful example, and has led millions. I know he's preached to millions, but
right. He's
led, who knows?
Oh, I know
hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, of people to the Lord.
That's right.
He's preached all over the world. In fact, we have a highlight, a segment. We talked about Dr. Billy Graham, and in that segment. And you can find it on the tour. Just type in the search bar, Reverend Billy Graham,
right.
And you'll be able to see that,
mm-hmm.
where he says that in one encounter, and one time, he actually shared the gospel with 1 million people in Seoul, Korea.
Wow! At one time?
At one time.
Oh my goodness!
So you talk about he said it was just an awesome experience.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine. But one thing that he said that struck me, this is a man that has been sold out to God. This is a man who's been preaching the gospel for years,
mm-hmm.
at great sacrifice. I mean, listen, he went all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, he went all over the world. And not in the internet age, not in the cell phone age.
No, right.
Not even in a beeper age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And for weeks and months at a time, he'd be overseas sharing the gospel while his family was at home, and his precious wife, Ruth, who just, you know, recently passed away and went to be with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
did such an amazing job keeping the home front and you know, taking care of the children and carrying mm-hmm. a huge load on her own. And you think about it, you know, talk about partnership, talk about, you know, better together.
Right.
That's understanding that what we do together is for the advancement of God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they weren't necessarily being about them. They've paid a price. Who was the guy, Pat, that was his right-hand man that really helped Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham, in his ministry?
Oh my gosh, I read his book. Well, it was actually not his book, but it was a book written about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Leading with Graham.
Mordecai Ham?
No, that's how Billy Graham got saved, was Mordecai Ham.
Oh, okay.
I'm drawing a blank, but anyway, we'll look that up.
We can get that to you, but isn't that amazing? His right hand man really helped him out tremendously. Everybody mm-hmm. needs somebody to walk with you and, you know, help out in life. But this man was really a right hand man to Billy Graham, and just really helped him to preach the gospel in such a powerful, powerful way by doing a lot of the things that needed to happen to support him and set things up. But he's written, Dr. Graham has written several books as well as, you know, preaching and leading these huge evangelistic campaigns. But he was just recently interviewed on his birthday, and he was asked, you know, I still believe that I guess the Lord kept me around because I still have a purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're at 94 years old and you're still, and he's still involved in ministry activity. It's you know, slowed down quite a bit, but he's still involved in sharing the gospel in one way or the other.
Right.
And he says, I have a purpose. Billy Graham at 94 says, I have a purpose. And when I think about that, I'm like, wow. Billy Graham, you're not talking about retiring. You're not talking about taking it easy. You're not talking about getting ready to be with the Lord. In fact, they're actually getting ready to celebrate, as I understand it, his ministry is, and his daughter, they're going to be putting together a big get-together for his 95th birthday. They're already planning that.
Oh, they're already planning. Oh, my goodness.
They're already working on that. Talk about having a vision. And, you know, recently we heard him in an interview, and he's just you know, looks in good health. You know, he's had some little health issues at 94, but relatively speaking, for 94 years old, I mean, God's really blessed him with a long life, and he's able to communicate and talk freely. And I think about purpose. Billy Graham saying that he still has a purpose to accomplish.
Right.
How important is that?
Right, right. Actually, the guy's name was T.W. Wilson. He was the one that that served with him for many, many, many years. Awesome,
right.
Awesome man of God.
That's awesome. So T.W. Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the book's called Leading with Billy Graham, written by J. Dennis. Beautiful.
That's cool. What was the biggest thing that you got out of that? This was
like his faithfulness. I mean, he went everywhere with him. I mean, he had a great influence. Just man of integrity. Awesome. Mm. Awesome man of God. Learned a lot from him.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Where and it's good. He's not looking to puff himself up. Mm-mm. And most people have never even heard of him.
Exactly. That's the whole point. He was behind the scenes, but yet, you know, he had great influence himself. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that. His kingdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, and when he reaches heaven, I mean, mm-hmm. I believe he'll have a huge, huge, huge reward for that.
Right.
You know, because it takes all. It's all of us working together.
That's right.
It's all of us working together.
That's right.
We can go on a whole other thing, but talking about, you know, everybody wants to be and would say, oh my goodness, I wish I could have been T.W. Wilson and be with Billy Graham and mm-hmm. Reverend Billy Graham and be with him all over the world.
Right.
But even that itself, I mean, it takes a special person. It takes a person of character and integrity.
It does. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be in a place like that, mm-hmm. you just can't just walk into something like that. Lord, raise up men and women of integrity that mm-hmm. that walk alongside and helps ministries and armor bearers and raise mm-hmm. up spiritual sons that will walk with men of God and will help them to accomplish the goal that God's, you know, and the vision that God's put in their life.
That's right.
I think it was in that book, or you can correct me, but someone said that, you know, without T.W. Wilson, it'd be hard to see where Billy Graham was able to do his the ministry and what he was.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, he was responsible for a lot of the ministry aspect, things that, you know, that, you know, Billy didn't have to worry about, you know.
Right.
You know, as far as getting him to where he needed to be, you know, at the right times and, you know, making sure that everything went smoothly.
And that's a very,
that's
very important part.
Yeah, it is. I mean, all Billy had to do was just show up, you know what I'm saying?
And which is good because, mm-hmm. I mean, when you're getting ready to share the gospel, you don't need to worry about, you know, how they didn't fix the lights and, you know, say there's no chairs in the building. And,
right.
You need to be focused on the word of God and what God wants to share to the people.
Right.
That's, I'm sure that Dr. Graham was very, very grateful for him.
Oh, absolutely.
But as I listen to this interview, he's talking about he has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He has a purpose. And it's so important to talk about that because if Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham at 94,
mm-hmm.
I keep saying that, at 94 can have a purpose,
mm-hmm.
my goodness, it should really cause all of us to say, if you haven't found out what your purpose is, to say, what's my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What is my purpose?
Absolutely.
And I love David, King David. David says in Psalm 139:13 says, for you created my inmost being and you knit me together. The psalm says, I'm sorry, not David. The psalm says, for you created me my inmost being you knit me together in my mother's womb. Mm. Let me think.
Mm-hmm.
God knit you in your mother's womb.
Right.
Before the foundations of the earth, God knew you.
Right.
And I think so many times people think, you know, if you don't know God, that maybe I was an accident, or there's all types of different scenarios that play out in people's life. But no one's an accident.
Nope.
No one's an accident.
Mm-mm.
You know, there is a purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about when anything that you see, you know, in your everyday life, any type of product or whatever, you know, there had to be a purpose in mind before that product was ever created. You know, one of the things of living in this type of culture is everything is so fast that we run around and do all these different things that we don't take the time to pause and realize, you know, I'm not the designer type of guy or the creator. So I'm really, you know, I'm more of the guy like, okay, this turns on like this. That's cool. You know?
Yeah, right.
But when you get into designing and creating things, you really begin to appreciate melancholies. You know what I'm saying? The detail, Chris, the detail was involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how my mind works, really. I have to see it in my mind before I can actually bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I see things in pictures. I think a lot of men are probably like this, but me personally, like when I had my business, I used to, you know, build a lot of things out of acrylic, you know, and I had to visually see it in my mind before I'd actually even put it on paper and begin to even build it.
Right.
You know, like podiums and aquariums and, you know, brochure holders and things like that. But it was it's all visual.
Wow, and acrylic is like a
plastic. Plexiglass, yeah, it's a plastic.
Wow, you can't hide mistakes with plastic, can you? It's like working with glass.
No,
it?
None.
What was
you had to be good at it, really.
What was the name of your business?
Precision Acrylics.
Precision. Hint.
Yeah, right.
I love that, but it's so important.
Yeah.
Because everything has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's just created. Purpose precedes production. So things that just don't appear.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, Apple products that they're storming. You know, they just released the iPad mini.
Right.
Sold another 3 million or so of those.
Right.
But, you know, people often wonder, what is this, you know, why are they so successful? Why is this Apple product, no matter, in this particular economy, people are still spending, you know, a pretty relatively, you know, it's not cheap for this product.
Right.
And I came across I don't know if it was a book or an article that I read about Apple, but did you know, listen to this, they actually, besides the research that's involved in their product, and even the person who's not an Apple fan has to admit that their product is really second to none. It's not a chintzy product at all.
Right. It's top notch.
And they go great into detail about how they produce this stuff. I mean, it's just like, you look at their video and go, amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Amazing. But they actually research, get this, how to package their phone, let's say, or their iPad, whatever their packaging, so that the customer has the most amazing experience when they're opening a box.
Yeah, their packaging is pretty... It's good. It's nice. It's almost, I mean, like, it's, I don't even want to throw it away. Matter of fact, I think I've got one of their phones, and I still have the box it came in.
I do too.
It's so pretty. I don't want to throw it away.
Isn't that hilarious though? Yeah. I mean, it's like, you think about it. Their instructions. We're talking today
everything
about
has its own compartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. How somebody packages something, but they do it in kind of such a cool, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to describe it, but such a cool, neat way.
It's just quality.
Yeah.
It's just top-notch quality.
And so they even went to that much of a detail
so
that when you open this product of quality, you're just not stuffed with peanut filler and you know, stuff rattling all over the place.
Right, right.
But it's almost like you're...
It's not just some brown cardboard box, you know, it's
a
lot of thought went into it.
You're going through layers too, but I thought that was just very interesting. The fact that they would, and they go through like tons of boxes and tons of models. And I mean, you should see it. It's like a whole production just on how to package it, not just to package it, but to package it so that the customer has an experience you know, an overwhelming experience when they open their product.
Yeah.
And look at all the things around in your home.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about, my goodness, if that much detail and attention goes to a product that goes on the market,
mm-hmm.
imagine the mm-hmm. detail and the thought that God has about every single person.
Exactly.
That your very hairs of your head are mm-hmm. numbered by God.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we have a generation there that doesn't have a purpose. I'm concerned that they have a purpose that they don't know what their purpose is.
Right.
You know, our young people, we've mm-hmm. got a purpose for our young people.
Right.
You know, I don't know about you. I mean, when I was young, I had so much uncertainty when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't have a relationship with God. I mean, I knew of God. I didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember just having great uncertainty in my life. Like, what am I going to do? And mm-hmm. I knew at a young age I wasn't going to be a rocket scientist. I figured that out about the fifth grade.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, I'm not going to be a doctor. I could just, I knew that already. I knew
not going to be a lawyer. No, no, that's not going to happen.
No, not here. Not here.
That would require reading a lot of books.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't like doing that. I was always amazed at the kids that got straight A's and didn't study. I'm like,
I know.
Chris.
That's funny. No straight A's in here.
Yeah, straight A when you went to school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Really, I did goof when I was there, but
he showed up.
You know, I show up more than
when he went smoking his Bible, yeah.
Well, you know.
But did you, I mean, doesn't that make...
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember, you know, when I was in school, you know, I would even have this friend of mine who sat next to me in class who, you know, he would sleep through class and then, you know, like 10 minutes before he'd wake up, he'd copy all my work and...
Oh my
God. Yeah, I'm serious.
Really?
I'm serious.
He'd wake up and copy your stuff.
He passed.
And you didn't. No, I'm kidding.
No, but it's, you know, serious, you know, it's very important having, you know, like you're talking about having vision for life, you know, knowing that mm-hmm. you have a purpose in life. Growing up, I never, you know, like you were saying, John, I didn't have a purpose. I didn't see my purpose. In fact, you know, I couldn't see beyond, like, you know, living a very long life. I never thought I would. I just, mm-hmm. I could never see it, you know.
Right.
And I think that stems from not having somebody in your life speaking into your life to encourage you to think about, you know, what are you going to do in your future? You know, I never had that. And so that's, you know, so that just leads you to, you know, having, you know, that role model in your life, a father figure in your life that's going to pour what's inside of him to pour it inside of you so that you do have a vision. You know, like you said, you know, God created us with purpose. He has something in mind, mm-hmm. you know. But that's going to come down to who's, you know, who's speaking into your life here on earth.
That's right.
You know, which is supposed to be our, you know, our natural father, our earthly father,
mm-hmm.
you
my
know.
Parents,
and so, right. And so having the lack of that, you know, many of the, you know, like the concern of the younger generation today, there's, you know, 35, 36 million fatherless homes in America, you know, we've talked about for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that younger generation that you're talking about, because of the lack of fathers, have no vision.
Uh-huh.
You know, they mm-hmm. see no purpose for their life.
No destiny. It's
right.
Just so true what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's like a visionless generation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they would walk around with t-shirts that say worthless.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what they think of themselves.
On their vehicles and, it's sad. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I believe that what we're even doing today is even the fact that we're talking about it and we're sharing about it. The fact that Billy Graham is a light. Reverend Billy Graham is a light
to
the world, saying mm-hmm. at 94 years old, mm-hmm. I'm not looking to expire or retire. I'm looking to refire. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Is that what he said?
I'm just saying.
I was like, man, you go, man.
I said, yeah, but you could almost hear him say that, you know.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's like, get up and go. What do you mean? If at 94,
right.
You're talking about purpose. You're talking about making plans not for your funeral. I mean, people are making plans for their funeral.
Yeah,
I want these chairs and play this song and make sure you have these flowers. I'm like, dude, you're 50. What's, you know, like, you know, you got plenty of life left.
Right. It also makes me think about, you know, this is the role of the church. You know, that's what we're, the role of the church is supposed to be, you know, is when we see, you know, our younger generation that's struggling out there, is for us, you know, to pick up that slack, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to speak into these young men and young women's lives, you know, so, mm-hmm. and, you know, where's the church doing that? The church needs to step up and recognize what's going on and do something about it.
Okay. Well, you know, for, say, my people perish for lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, and a lack of vision. And so casting vision and teaching and preaching and sharing God's word mm-hmm. oftentimes helps people to ignite themselves to realize, you know what, I do have a purpose. In fact, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans mm-hmm. I have for you, declares the Lord."
All right.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and the future.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I remember the first time I heard that scripture, I was like, hold yeah. up, wait a minute.
Right. Are you talking to me?
Wait a second. Is that in the Bible? You're going to have to show me that. Right. You know, like, where is that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I when I was younger, I didn't have purpose. And then when I started going to college, it's like all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to do something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the biggest driving motivation in my life at that time was like, I didn't want to be poor. They're like, been there, done that. Don't want to be visit that no more. I'm like,
yeah, right.
That was my biggest motivation. So I went to college. I think I got started. He was like, mm-hmm. I got to go do something. I got to get an education. That's what they keep telling me. Get an education. It's like, oh, my yeah. goodness. And so I just, you know, went along with everybody else. This college is the next step, you know?
Right.
And I'm not saying that college is bad. I'm just saying that's not the only way to learn. There's a lot of people that have yeah. that have a college education. You're just like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. give me some wisdom. You need, you know, it's like you need yeah. a whole lot more than just a paper and just, you yeah. know, go through some things. And we have and I don't want to get into all that, but an inordinate, you know, it's amazing how some people get the respect because they have a college degree, and some people just get looked down because they don't. It's like, wait a second. You know, it's like, did you know the person got a college degree doesn't know how to spell?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like,
has no common sense.
Yeah, let's get this all together. Let's balance this thing out. But later on in my life, I was just, you know, when I was going to college, working, and trying to, you know, do this stuff and trying to think like I think a lot of people do, that my destiny, my purpose is in a job.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that, wait a minute, God, you have a plan for me? You have a destiny for me?
All right.
You know, that I'm not a mistake in that this was, you know, all part of your divine providence, and your hand has been involved in my life some way or the other all along the way. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And I think that's an eye opener for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You know, God does have a plan for you. The way you walk and talk and breathe and look and act, you know, you're not an accident.
That's right.
You're not, you know, there's destiny mm-hmm. in your life. And so when I started to realize I could pull back and say, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
I have to make this thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our best attempts to try to do something oftentimes is like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole lot easier when I realized, well, why don't I just discover, since purpose precedes production,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't create or produce myself,
mm-hmm.
you know,
all right.
Why not just ask God, what do you want to do with me?
Right, exactly.
What do you want to do with me?
I can tell you from first-hand experience. I mean, that's exactly how God's trained me up. You know, mm-hmm. I've had people ask me, so where did you get your training to do what you do? You know what yeah. I tell them?
What?
I went to the University of the Holy Spirit. That's
wow.
That was my school.
Yeah.
You know, firsthand. You know, I just said, God, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do. Teach me. How do I do this?
Right.
Help me figure this out.
And that's amazing.
And he does every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
And that's amazing because I know you personally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've
yeah.
known you for many, many, many years. And all the stuff, the technical stuff that you know, all the stuff that you know, I know. I mean, the truth is that, I mean, let's just get it out right now. Chris, go ahead. We're going to talk about it. All right. We're going to talk about it. Don't get nervous. Pat didn't even know how to turn on a computer.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I was so scared of it. It sat on my dining room table probably for a week. I had to call Greg. I said, hey, can you come over here and help me turn this thing on? Because I don't have a clue.
isn't that amazing? And today you build websites, and that means like you're all
and he's building computers.
Right.
Didn't know how to turn one on, but now he builds them.
Right. And then also went to VIAVenue, which obviously that's
absolutely
Lion Fellowship University. So also went through that for even more training.
Absolutely.
So guys trained me up, man, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you. I mean, listen, God has a destiny. He has a plan for you. And if you don't know him, the first thing is that man's destiny and purpose is to know God. That's man's chief end. Listen,
right.
if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not living life. Mm-hmm. You're really not. You know, I know there was such a stark contrast, just a night and day difference from not knowing Jesus, you know what I'm saying, and how my life was after I met Jesus. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. And I would even call while I was just, it's like, oh, it was just existing.
Mm-hmm.
And like many people are, they're pushing through. I often think about the Dunkin' Donuts commercial when the guy gets up and says, time to make the donuts.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah, my heart breaks. I can relate to that. There's many people today that are working so hard, man. They're paying bills. They're trying to do the very best that they can to take care of their family and to keep peace in their home and to raise children. And let me tell you something. It's challenging when you're serving God. It's impossible when you're not.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you need
that. It doesn't work.
Mike, you need every ounce of prayer. You need
Oh, my gosh.
So,
meaning when before I knew God, it was just a mess. Absolute mess.
It always is, isn't it?
Yeah, I screwed it all up. But God fixed it. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, he does a great job of taking our mess and fixing it. It's like a bad tangled knot. Mm-hmm. He's always unpulling the knot to come with the best possible outcome, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for
your
tangled shoelace.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, really good at that. But we're talking about destiny. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about Dr. Graham that at 94 years old,
mm-hmm.
he's not looking to retire, expire, right? He's looking to refire. He's looking to live life with destiny to the last breath. And I encourage you listening today, you're saying, you know what? I'm hearing you guys. This is, you know, I'm just working a job. And listen, you got to take care of your job, but your job's not your purpose.
Right.
Your job is where you carry out your purpose.
Right.
Your job's not your purpose. Come on.
Right.
It's where you, and that's a mistake that just sometimes education and schools, and we lift up a job mm-hmm. and we look for a career. You know, there's some people I wouldn't switch out a career for.
Right.
You know, because it's like, dude, you have a what seemingly looks like a great career, but your life is in shambles. You know, your life is not where it needs to be. You got family, you got stuff, but it's not where it's at. God has destiny. God has a purpose. And he wants to reveal it to you. Your job is where you live that out. And it's to glorify God. It's to glorify God in all you do. You know, God has anointed us and he's appointed us. The Bible says God's called us to bear fruit, good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're listening today and you're saying, you know what? I want my life to matter. I want to live for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters who you do it for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. You know, John, that reminds me of where I was at there for a time.
Mm-hmm.
That, always, before I came to know the Lord, I always worked, I worked to work. You know, I thought that, that was my life. That's what I had to do. That's all that, consumed me. I worked from sun up, sundown, and even shortly after I came to the Lord, that's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, my whole life consumed work. You know, I was working a job that I never knew when I was going to get off. And then, I couldn't plan anything in my life because that was my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then it was just like one day there was this light bulb that went off. I mean, it's a long, it's kind of
God
a long drawn out story. But yeah, God spoke to me through this particular situation at work. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. wait a minute. You know, I work so that I can live. I'm not supposed to live to work.
Oh, wow. Say that again.
Twice?
You might lose it. No, come on. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I don't live to work. I work so that I can live.
That's it.
You know, and that was just a huge revelation, because, my family was struggling at the time. I was never there. My children were struggling because I wasn't there. But then, you know, like I said, it was just like this mega pop revelation that God gave me one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately I put in my 2-week notice where I was at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this isn't worth it.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I couldn't do anything for God. Couldn't do anything right. for my family.
Right.
Because I wasn't there. I wasn't available.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it's beautiful. Important. Your family needs you. You know, you're not just a paycheck. You're a father. You're a husband. You're a leader in your home. Your family needs you. But you know what? God has a purpose. Mm-hmm. It's just that alone. Just that alone. Knowing that God has a purpose for you is for you to know Him and to make Him known and for you to glorify Him in all that you do. It'll take your whole existence of what seemingly appears a meaningless existence, because I've been there,
mm-hmm.
to realize that no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what you know what, I'm going to do this to the glory of God. But you first got to know Him. You first got to accept Him in your heart. You first got to make Him Lord. And when you do that, a whole world of possibilities opens up to you, a whole world of things. And let me tell you, if you're a believer today, and you're saying, you know, I hear you. I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, so you're tired of sitting. You want to get in the game. You want to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org,
mm-hmm.
and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught.
Right.
And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church. And Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask Him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what He has in store for you. Dr. Reverend Billy Graham, 94 years old, and still interested in seeking God's will, seeking God's purpose for his life. He's not looking to retire. He's looking to continue to have his life, to have as much fruit as possible for God. And that's where we need to be.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that's where we need to be. And one of the things that we talked about was talking about you can't find your true destiny, your true purpose outside of God.
That's right.
And oftentimes people that don't know God, they think that their destiny and their purpose is their job.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't. Your job is just where you fulfill your destiny. Your destiny and your purpose is in God.
Right.
It's in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying Him in all you do. And your job is just a place where you fulfill your purpose.
That's right.
It's where you glorify God and you bear fruit and you lead people to the Lord. And your life and your witness and how you do your job matters tremendously before God.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole life is to give God glory. That's the purpose of your life, is to glorify Him, is to reflect. Think about it. In your life, you have your family. Is God getting glory out of your family, your character and your integrity? Is God getting any glory in those areas, in your finances, in your work? How about all the things the Lord has entrusted to you?
Mm-hmm.
You think about all this stuff. Our life is just not humdrum. God has equipped us and has surrounded us with areas of influence, with responsibilities, with things that we have direct impact on. And so the world is not supposed to, you know, revolve around us.
Right.
You know,
right.
We revolve around God.
That's right.
And so thinking about that, you know, there's many people today that are coming back to God.
That's
they
right.
really are. We have prodigals that are finding the Lord again. And they once walked with God and said, it's not going well with me now.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost my way. And I encourage you, if you're if you're a prodigal and you once knew God and you've left the Lord, mm-hmm. and you know you've left the Lord, you know, if you know you've left God and you're looking at your current situation and saying, this is not good,
mm-hmm.
tell you something, God's not mad at you.
That's right.
You can work it out.
Amen.
And the first step is just coming to Him. The first step is acknowledging. And God will help you and walk you through the process. But start all over.
Mm-hmm.
Dump everything you had from before.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk more about turning back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Turning back to God as we come to the end of the first hour. We're turning back, turning our hearts back to Him, giving our hearts to Him. Maybe you're here today and you're listening to all of this and you're saying, you know what? I want to, God's calling me and you've repented and you're coming back to God. I want to read you something out of 1 Samuel that's really amazing. And the Ark of the Covenant, it's all about God's presence. I mean, we need the glory of God in our life, in our home, in the church. I mean, you know, we need God's glory, but the Ark of the Covenant was being returned to Israel after some time. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Word of God says that it was a long time, verse 2, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath and Jearim.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And then verse 3 says, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, rid yourselves of foreign gods and the Asherahs, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only. And He will deliver you. He'll deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines.
Mm.
I mean, there is a process. You know, you can give your heart to God, but saying, listen, if you really want to turn your heart. So he says, so the Israelites put away all their Baals and their Asherahs and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you're turning back to God, such an encouraging time. But how many times have we seen this where, you know, God's moving in someone's life and they're being drawn to God,
mm-hmm.
but you almost like they don't seal the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, being close is not in. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
In is in, out is out. And if God's drawing you, you want to come to God fully. And don't underestimate. Remember, because you didn't know God a little while ago.
That's right.
You didn't know God a little while ago. And if you're coming back to God, don't underestimate the people that God has put by divine providence, by His plan for your life, you know,
mm-hmm.
to help bring you back.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian, we're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and mm-hmm. what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through His word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying
does.
To tap into what He's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of His word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as His own, that He's drawing to Himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. John, the VFN TV app.
What app?
The VFN TV app.
What's an app?
Everything has an app. VFN TV and VFN radio program, we have an app.
an app for that?
We have an app for that. I'm telling you, you know, I think about it that there's nothing like having, that's a free app too, by the way. It's a free app. As a matter of fact, you can find the app, John. You know we have an app.
Okay, we have an app.
Finally. It's an app. It's an app store right now. You go to VFNTV.com. If you have a Google phone, go to Google Play. If you have an iPhone, go to iTunes. Either way, type in VFNTV in your search area of your app store, and you can get the VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program app now for free. Enjoy.
Wow, I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you, vfnu.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just, I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that we're, you know, he's came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound, I am free.
Previously on the VFN Radio Program.
Speaking of driving, my mother had purchased a Hotch type thing. My mother, she does all this painting and porcelain, this beautiful stuff that she does.
Very nice.
And just hand paints all this great stuff. And she got this Hotch, you know, tall 6 foot type cabinet. But I thought it was like 6 foot by 6 foot by 3 foot. When it was being described to me, I'm thinking like, how am I going to pick this thing up? It's huge. And long story short, you know, Pat volunteers to come out there and to help me out, and we go there and pick my father up. And, you know, so Pat, Dad and I got a chance to go meet these wonderful people, you know, mm-hmm. and help them get this Hotch. It was a beautiful house set back off
really
the road.
Nice.
And I'm driving like Eddie drive. Eddie, I understand, man. Totally understand.
Yeah.
So I'm pulling out. Their driveway was about 40 miles long. I mean, it was forever weaving in and out or something. No, the road. I was coming out on the road. I was coming out there. The road was all wavy. Remember how the road kind of waved? Well, I was driving straight while the road was waving.
The road was moving.
Yeah, I refused to wave. No. And so I'm talking. We were talking about something. And I'm talking to Dad. And Dad's in the front seat of the truck, you know. And it has a front seat and a back seat. And I don't know. I look at Dad's face, you know, because I wasn't looking ahead.
That's usually how it goes when you're driving.
And it kind of went, boop, 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 boop. And so I knew this was like, I said, that's like an ultrasound, you know, kind of letting us know something's happening. So then I turned around like, oh my goodness, there's a huge curve over there in a cliff. Yeah. And so it was so funny, right? I was like, it was like an ultrasound. Boop, 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 boop.
Previously on the VFN Radio Program.
Well, you know, the secret, I want to talk about the secret to marriage. You want to be able to move on, you know. And I know that Pat's just itching to tell us about it. It's Pat's notes, you know, the secret of marriage. And it kind of explains, if you're thinking about getting married, or if you're in the dilemma of being married and trying to, you say, this doesn't make sense, this is going to be very helpful to you.
Mm.
This is what marriage can be like. There's moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scenario. There's a man. It's a husband. He's reading a newspaper, and he's sitting at the breakfast table. You can imagine that. This probably happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, originally when this was talked about, it was a piece of paper, but now he's probably looking at his iPad.
Yeah, right.
But he's reading the newspaper, and the wife is fixing her husband some oatmeal. And she's in the kitchen with him, obviously, because they're in there, and she's got her back to him. And so all of a sudden, she fixes the oatmeal. She sets it down and turns her back to him. She sets the oatmeal in front of him as he's reading the paper. Mm. And she turns her back to him and begins to wash dishes. All of a sudden, he just kind of pulls down the paper for a second and looks at the oatmeal sitting in front of him that his wife just sat down. He says, he looks real close, and he goes, my goodness, there's a fly in my oatmeal. There's a fly in my oatmeal. Mm-hmm. So he tells his wife, you know, whose back is turned to him, says, there's a fly in my oatmeal. And she doesn't look. She doesn't turn around. She just goes, no, there's not. He goes, there's a fly. There is a fly in my oatmeal. And she goes, it's a raisin. Now, she's never turned around and she's never looked. Said, it's a raisin. And he goes, no, there's a fly in my oatmeal. And all of a sudden, the fly just flew off. And then finally, she turns around because he's going, see, look, look, look. And she goes, I'll be doggone, a flying raisin. Listen, you have to ask yourself, you know, do you want to win the argument or do you want to win your wife's heart?
Mm.
You know, sometimes you get caught in trying to prove a point.
Mm.
And you say, you know what? Get you some more oatmeal. You know, stir the fly in if you're looking for protein. You know, but that sometimes we get caught up in trying to prove a point, or just, you know, men have a tendency to think of things logically, on the logic side. And women at times could care less about logic, even though they know it. Mm-hmm. They're thinking more of the emotional side of it, because that's just how they're designed.
That's right.
And you can logically, if you're trying to communicate to somebody logically, when they're saying, what part don't you understand? I'm not bringing logic into this. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be dumbfounded. He's like, what's going on? There has been 15 flies in my oatmeal, and she's called them all raisins. It's like, just relax. Cool. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
You're married.
Get over it.
Get over it. It's totally okay. It's like, just as long as you know that it was a fly, and you might have to find your buddy friends again. It's a fly. Yeah, I had a fly in mine too, man. She called it a raisin. And don't worry, she will actually get with her female friends. It's good. Can you believe that? He was not saying thank you one thing because I put the oatmeal in front of him. He was just reading his paper. You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends. They're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually, these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years, and where he met us in the wilderness. We went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful time. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you are alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. we think about Billy Graham, you know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once, or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel, preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now.
Previously on the VFN radio program. I do want to say to you this morning, you know, as you're listening, to be encouraged, and that's our goal. Our goal is to encourage you in the Lord, to encourage the saints, and to remind you of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his willingness not only to forgive you, but to forget and to restore the years the locust had devoured, that his plans are good for you, that he has a construction site going on in heaven called your mansion. You know, and of course, the song says just over the hillside, you know, and that's pretty cool. But if you're down the flatlands like we are in the Gulf Coast, it's just kind of a straight shot. They have a place called Cottage Hill. It's kind of hard to know you're on it. If you pull out your level and put it on the ground, I think it's got like a little bump thing going on. Listen, God's got good plans in store for you. You know, Satan is a liar and he's a father of lies. And there's many people that like to use his, surrender their tongue over to him, like James chapter 3 says, and their tongues are set on fire by hell. And they like to just kind of spread some things your way to cause you to forget that you win. You win, you win, you win through Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. You know, this is time that we have in our eternal life. It's already begun the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is time that we can actually do for him in a way that we can remember, oh, I'm so glad I did for him, as we enter into heaven. You know, you think about this, you think about it, that, you know, there's a lot of people that look back and they go, man, I wish I would have, you know, I wish I wouldn't have let fear hold me back.
All right.
Makes me think of Rick Joyner's prophetic book about, you know, the epic battles, not epic battles, last day, but Final Quest, you know, and it just took like 2 or 3 demons of fear to hold back thousands of Christians.
Right.
You know, and of course, the one who's afraid the most is going to go, I am not scared. I just have these obligations right now. I'm not going to be able to.
Right. I got bills,
you know, it's like. You know, I always said, you know, when God was calling me into ministry, that when
you know, the disciples threw down their nets. You know, they saw Jesus. Jesus called them and said, come. And they threw down their nets, which was their business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed them, mm-hmm. you know. And they're in business with their father, you know, sons of Zebedee. And then that, you know, the father's probably like, where are you going, son? We're in business together. No, you didn't know that. Right. But also the question I always had was, well, did they owe money on their nets?
Right, I know.
Did they owe money on their nets? And there's so many people held captive because of debt. I mean, he tells us that we're slave to the lenders, you know. Mm-hmm. And so be very careful. I was seeing America right now. Was it like 45 cents on every dollar? And so, you know, free yourself up from all those things that hold you back from obeying God, because this is our one time. This is a one little time.
One shot.
Yeah, I mean, we could still be living as long as Methuselah. You know what I'm saying?
Thank goodness we don't.
I mean, look at us now with a few decades behind our belts. You know, it's like,
oh my gosh,
we'd be probably pathetic in about 800 years, right?
I know, I would be.
Of course, I don't go into all those details and stuff.
Yeah, right. You
know, it's not time to talk about the Nephilim. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.